Nick's taken the day off.
Bang!
So this is Kennedy Blake.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come.
Well, one of them's here. The other one is doing some very, very great work at the Grand Prix. So thanks for having me fill in.
Straight from a very long lunch.
Actually, got a Mexican salad from Uber Eats. Double chicken. Pretty good.
And frankly, this could go anywhere.
Well, I think we all know there'll be less second hour slurring. I mean, it won't be completely sober, but, you know, not at Mick levels.
This is Kennedy Blake.
Hey, Janie, how
are
you?
Hey, Hamish Blake.
Can, do you mind if I do my best Mick?
Please do your Mickey intro, go.
Yes! Good afternoon, Australia. Bang! Friday. Here we are. Cavalcade of entertainment coming towards you. All right, and many other things that I can't remember, so Len, good on them. Yes, Mickey says yes.
Oh, Mick.
Pantaloons, strap yourself in. Well, here we go. Crack one open. Jane's into the can Chardonnay already.
Hey.
I've already hurt my
not
voice.
Not too close. Don't be too Mickey
exactly.
for me.
I've hurt my voice, no.
You have.
Mick, wherever you are.
Stay away.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you. If you see Mick Molloy at the Grand Prix, do not approach him. Do feed him from an open palm like
no.
a horse.
Why don't you stop him and take a selfie with him? He'd really love that. Lots of them.
If there's one thing Mick is at the Grand Prix for, it's to meet and touch as many punters as he can.
It is. Hamish Blake, welcome.
Janie, what a relief. We've been talking about this for ages.
Well, we have to say what's coming through the show so we can keep going, don't we?
Sorry.
Okay,
what
today
have we got?
We've got Clown of the Week coming up, which
clown
we love.
Clown and Dange. Yeah.
We've got dash cam talk because there's been a huge incident.
I'm sure people are across this, but we will be going inside the lives and the world. Do you know what we're doing? We'll be going inside the world of dash cam owners, which is what they don't want. They only want to go inside your world.
That's good right.
Point. They and don't like it when the camera's back on them.
I'm very afraid I'm going to be on these cameras one day because of my behaviour.
I've been done on a dash
unruin.
Cam.
Well, let's talk about
I've been
that.
Done and reported to the police.
Well, excellent.
Whoa.
I wonder if Will Anderson has. He's coming in to the show to talk to us today.
After five, so if you are not a fan of either of us, but you are a fan of Will, hold on for 55 minutes, get a drink, turn the radio down, turn it back up around 5 o'clock.
And you have reverted to a childhood, well, not childhood, a young man.
I fell off a bandwagon.
Fell off the bandwagon. You've taken something up that you...
And I am
worried about you doing again.
I'm rolling around in the mud. And I'm doing something that a father of two young children should not be doing.
Or should they?
Or should... Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. But I'm back. I honestly am at a stage now where I know, I'm aware that I have a vice that's taken over my life and I need help. And I know I need help and I don't want it.
Well, I'm here to help you.
No, I don't think I want it.
Well,
but,
all right.
But I'll bring it up
there
with you
be
anyway.
An intervention. And we're going to talk flirt moves.
Flirting
which
moves.
Which is down my alley. I'm fascinated by this.
I've got something that's happened in my world to a mate that I think, and it's so simple. It's one sentence that he's been direct messaged by someone and it's so, to me, it's cut and dried flirting.
God, okay.
And it's a powerful sentence too.
All right.
And for people that want to flirt too, I reckon, I think it works particularly well to a male.
So we're talking about DM flirting.
Yep.
It's a big thing. It's a big
huge...
thing because there's only a few people that I DM.
Yeah. And you know...
And I'm conscious of that behaviour.
When someone opens a message, it's for your eyes only. Already it's coming with a bit of a... Already it's coming because social media is a party and DMing someone's going, hey, can I just grab you for a moment?
Ooh.
It's like on The Bachelor when they want to have a word outside. That's what a direct message is.
Wow.
Can I just grab you quickly for a moment over here? Jane, I don't want to say this publicly.
It's not quite the white rose of DMing, but it's close.
Can we start though? As we know, as you know, our hearts and minds go out to Mick today. We hope he's having a wonderful day. It's his RDO. He's at the Melbourne Grand Prix.
Yes.
You and I have both been to the Grand Prix before. Mick's not in the stands waving a Ferrari flag.
He's not.
With a nephew or someone that's also into
motorsport. He's not in the pits.
Hasn't taken his kids.
No.
He's at corporate hospitality, which is all the tents that are on the inside of the track.
Which is very flashy and very lovely. It's great. It's very, you know, it's posh. It's very posh.
We're not poo-pooing it at
no.
all. You
we
and
love
I,
it.
We have greedily eaten from the feed bag of corporate hospitality many times in our careers.
And it's buzzy and
it's
international.
Free booze. You get a lanyard. If you're lucky, you get two. You feel like a hero. However...
Don't.
The thought of going, if you think you're going to have fun, like, you know, you usually go with mates.
Yeah.
The thought of going to, like, catch up with people, it doesn't work at the Grand Prix.
It's a problem, isn't it?
You cannot.
this hear anything.
It's so loud. For anyone, this is the problem.
For anyone living in Melbourne, if you're within 25 k's of the track, you can hear the Grand Prix track.
Yeah. Like, it's insane, the noise level.
So being there, obviously, at ground level, and that's why it's fun to watch as a spectator sport, because you can feel the noise.
Yes.
But it's not fun to go as a catch-up with mates, which is the whole point of a marquee.
Well, it is.
Can we do something to kick off the show?
Sure.
Dange, I need your help too.
Okay.
I want to run a live experiment for people. Okay. For people that might see those tents and go, oh, God, it'd be so great one day to be in there. Sure.
Because I see all the Instagram shots of everyone. Everyone looks happy and they look glamorous and posing.
We all love free drinks.
However.
But if you think you're going, if you think there's any social element to it, here's what I want to do. To simulate accurately the Grand Prix, let's call. I wanted to pick someone from your life, Jenny, who it's often at these events you see someone you haven't seen for a month or two.
Yes.
And it is exciting to see them.
Of course.
Let's catch up. We're busy. I've picked my wife.
Well, great.
Who you're
mates
with.
Zoe Foster Blake is a friend of mine. I haven't seen her for a while.
The Incredibles.
Would love a catch up.
The Incredibles EFB, right?
Yes. She's pretty amazing.
You and her would love a catch up.
We totally would.
Here's what we do, Dange. Let's call her. I'll give you a number.
All right.
We call her now.
All right, let's
You
call.
Guys can catch up over the phone, and I'm going to be in charge of Grand Prix esque.
Also,
effect.
We'll simulate as if we're at the Grand Prix.
Everyone can experience how annoying it is to try and catch up with someone at the Grand Prix.
All right, let's give you a call.
It's ringing.
I'm pretty sure I've remembered her number correctly.
Yeah. You sure you know your wife's phone number?
Like, sometimes I get the last three confused with the middle three.
Really?
Have I done it again?
It's going to be funny.
I must be busy.
No, that's not her.
I'll get back to you.
Okay. Sorry. I know what I've done. I know what I've done.
Wrong number.
Dange, I'll give you another one.
She'll answer straight away.
Yeah. No, good. You switch them around. Yeah, definitely her.
Hello.
Hi, honey. How are you? It's me.
I'm good.
I'm so relieved that that's you, Zoe, because
I just want to let you know. I got your number wrong again, honey.
Your husband doesn't know your number.
He doesn't know my number. I know this.
You know how I always get the last three and the middle three mixed up? I did it again. And now it's like I've psyched myself out.
Well, it's so good to really talk to you now on the phone.
It's great. It's great to have you on the show, honey.
Yes, and I'll look after him for you. I've baked him some cookies.
But
why?
So here's what I want to do.
Here's
my experiment that I want to do. As you know, mix at the Grand Prix today in a corporate suite, which everyone thinks sounds awesome.
Sounds very fancy.
It's full of people that you would love to talk to, but you can't talk to because of the noise of the Grand Prix and everyone's wearing like earmuffs.
Earplugs.
Oh, earplugs. Yeah.
You and Jane, you guys probably haven't seen each other for a month or so, right? Yep. I want to give you guys a chance to catch up now, one-on-one, genuinely catch up. Ask each other the things that you would like to know about each other, family, work.
I have many.
TV shows, all the normal sort of stuff. But I'm going to be riding the sound effects in here, me and Dangerous Dave, to show people exactly what would be happening to Mick right now. We're going to do a real-life simulation of being in corporate hospitality at the Grand Prix.
Okay.
Take it away, girls.
Catch up.
Good friends.
Okay, so first of all, how are your babies going?
They're good. Rudy's amazing. She's starting to crawl. She's going to start moving around.
She's starting to what, sorry?
Crawl.
Crawl?
Going to start crawling.
Oh, great. And what about Sunny? Has Sunny started kinder yet?
He has.
Sorry, what was that?
I'm just about to go on to the
office. Okay. What about your new office? I saw that you've got that. That looks fantastic.
It is good, name. It is good. A lady mentioned.
You what? Sorry, what was that? You what?
I think we need to get in touch because I would love to catch up with you.
Oh, I know. And then you got a fringe I saw. I love that new fringe. What made you decide to get it?
Oh, it's just the mum's
face. Oh, this is hopeless.
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
But good to see each other, though.
I'll tell you what.
It's really good.
I'll text you.
Yeah. And then usually it ends with, hey, isn't that Mick Molloy with a stripper?
Thanks, Zoe.
Good to catch up, though, isn't it, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good to catch up.
Oh, that's good. The cars went for that bit.
That's great.
See you, I'll see you at home, honey.
Bye. Kennedy Molloy around Australia with Hamish Blake.
When Mick's away, Jane will play with Hamish. This is Kennedy Blake.
Pretty good feeling in here.
Feels good.
Right, God, this is good. I'm loving it.
Hey, Hamish, I've baked you some cookies.
What?
Jane's got fresh cookies. Have one, Dange.
Do you want one?
Yeah.
Yeah, have a cookie.
Look at this. Why do I feel like this is this cookie maneuver has never happened from that side of the studio to this side of the studio.
No, it
ever.
Hasn't. Has it?
Dave? Have you baked me these cookies because you would because you want Mick to find out? Because
yes,
he's never been baked cookies.
You could drop crumbs in his chamber pot where you sit.
Oh, don't touch the chamber pot.
Jane Kennedy, published author, public cookbook author.
You might like those.
Really good.
Hey, we were talking about something before about you're saying you said the word flirt, and all the hackles go up on my neck in a good way.
Yeah,
because I love a good flirty. I love good flirty talk.
So as he's very, very common, right? I've got a single mate at the moment who's from interstate.
Yep.
He's in town and, as always, everyone does this, we're analysing a back and forth between him and a young lady, okay, to determine whether, because the whole thing about flirting, especially on social media with DMs, is like a lot of the time people are doing it to have plausible deniability.
Okay.
Especially in this instance because.
Is this DM on Twitter or
this
Insta?
Is an Instagram direct message. Okay. I'm gonna throw something out there. This young lady that's involved is taken. Okay, he's not. My buddy's single. He's from interstate. They met at a party. They met at a party like a year ago.
Okay,
so at a birthday party.
But knowing that one was taken and one was free. Okay.
So there's no real reason. I mean, they met under flirty circumstances. Could still be friends. But you met at a party.
No reason to DM. Could comment on Instagram with everyone else.
So I'm gonna use a fake name. Let's just say that his name is. Paul Rigatelli.
Is that a brand of pasta?
It might be. But shout out, if there are any real Paul Rigatellis listening, give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3 Get one of Jane's cookies.
Okay.
But you have to be a genuine Paul Rigatelli, and we'll need to see a license. So, he's come back into town. He's down for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's posted some stuff on Instagram to be like, oh, I'm in town. She's sent him a direct message, okay, bearing in mind she's a taken lady, and the direct message, all it says is, oh, I see you're in town, .. How long are you around for, Paul Rigatelli? Here's my theory. Okay. If a lady, if a woman in that scenario uses first name, last name, it's flirting.
So you say that's a bit of a sassy,
I don't think you can use someone's first name and last name without it sounding like you're tracing around their lips with a strawberry or something, right? Don't you reckon it just sounds like, how long are you in town for? Paul Rigatelli.
Sounds like an ad for a cherry ripe or something you're doing.
It does. Because, why wouldn't you just go, how long are you in town for?
Okay.
How long are you in town for? Paul Rigatelli.
First of all, I'm fascinated that you boys all share this information together.
Because he's going, oh, what do you think? This is weird. I haven't heard from him for ages. I was like,
man. Asking you, the expert.
It's flirting. She's flirting. She would have just gone, oh, what are you doing? How long are you in town for? How long are you in town for? Paul Rigatelli.
No, I'm saying that's correct. She is definitely flirting. That is making a real stand in my book.
Try and say something to me using just
your last name.
My first name and last name and make it not sound flirty.
Okay.
But it can just be banal.
All right. I'm loving that beard, Hamish Blake.
I'm a married man, Jake.
Sorry, Zoe.
You just spoke to my wife. Out of control. It doesn't.
And I shouldn't have even used a very sort of deep voice. But I say, I'm loving that beard, Hamish Blake.
It could literally be like, what's your favourite pen to use, Jane Kennedy?
But you're stroking your beard as he's...
Just got a huge compliment on it, so I can't help but touch it.
I'm loving... Look.
So I'm going to tell him. So this is from yourself.
It's definitely flirting. And is DM a sign of extra flirting? Because I've got a few people that DM me.
Not all DMing's flirting. I don't think that's...
The office was saying that if you DM on Insta, it's more flirty than if you DM on Twitter. Discuss.
I think that's because... You have news feeds on Twitter. You'd be like, oh, right, well, I follow CNN or I follow, NRL highlights or whatever. But on Instagram, you don't really do that. You're not going, there's a breaking story, I must check Instagram because you have to, sift through 600 meme accounts find a shred, just a shred of breaking news.
So Lisa Wilkinson's not flirting with me when she's DM me.
I think Twitter's for biz. A lot of the time it's for business.
Right.
Twitter feels like business and Instagram feels like fun.
We might be wrong. Who knows? Give us a call if you've had Flirty talk.
If you reckon
on your DM.
If you deal with people first name, last name basis and it's not flirting, it'll be very interesting to hear
really?
From you. But we'll
it's
get zero calls. This is a new thing we're doing in radio. It's a segment called Zero Calls. Exactly. It's working.
Unless it's Paul Rigatelli, of course. You can
gives a call. Paul Rigatelli.
Offer's still there. We've still got at least six cookies left.
An RDO for Mick.
Mickey.
So Jane replaced him with Hamish. This is Kennedy Blake.
You bet it is. And it's time for this.
There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, brother.
Please explain.
I'll let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
We seem to have lots of clowns who are eligible to be in this every week.
It's like clown school.
It really is like clown school.
It's like graduating day at clown school.
All right, let's start.
Who you got?
I'm going to clown someone that has been renowned for being a clown quite a few times before. He's...
10-time clown?
I reckon he is a 10-time clown.
He's in the 10 Red Noses Club.
Let's hear it for Bernard Tomic.
Oh,
good job, Bernie.
He made his comeback this week. It was a second-tier tournament. I believe it was in Lille in France.
One of the big ones. One of the big ones.
Yeah, it was.
Tickets. We're giving away tickets all day across Triple M.
The big one in Lille.
The big showdown of the rackets in Lille. Yeah. You, three mates, flights, Lille, ground passes.
And just remembering.
Centre court.
Like, last week, wasn't it, or 2 weeks ago, he was in the Gold Coast and there was like, he was at a nightclub and there was a bit of a brouhaha going on there with his entourage.
That's right. Is he making his comeback from that or he's come back from 10? Hasn't made his social comeback yet.
Well, somehow he made his way to Lille and he lost to a guy who ranks 150th in the world and now Bernard is 180 in the world. Keep going with that.
Jeez.
Sorry, Bernard.
When you're at the top 200, I mean, we're pretty forgiving with our tennis.
Dude.
Like we'll take top 200 in tennis.
But he said he was leaving the jungle to concentrate on his tennis and, all right.
So he's gone to the epicenter, to Lille. Okay. I'm going to do a clowning for a fresh recipient. This is only, I just saw this a couple of hours ago. Yeah. I would like to clown Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding invite person.
Oh. They've
published
up for that.
I'm not sure if you've seen them online.
I did.
Remember how when it was Prince William's, they've dropped one bit from Prince William's, which it used to be by royal command.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Like the Queen commands you to come. So now I think there was a bit of backlash over that years ago. So now it's just like, hey, Prince Charles would be wrapped. If you're free, Prince Charles is his son is getting married. Yeah. And like, if you're not doing anything, come along. Mm. On the invite though, this is what I don't understand. Don't publish it online because... I don't know if you were the same when you had your 21st, but when you did your invite, you had to go strict door list, like we will have security.
Yes.
They've printed the invite online. Who are just going to print it off?
Yeah.
First thing I thought when
that
I saw it online.
That is what I thought too. What are you doing?
I'm going to take it and go put it on $10 paper, do it gold. I'm going to put my name, Hamish
and
Zoe.
I agree.
And I'm going to the wedding.
It's pretty daggy too,
Idiots.
Looking invite, isn't it?
And the other dumb thing on the invite is at the bottom it goes uniform morning coat, which I guess is those grey suits.
Oh.
Or lounge suit.
Well, one or the other.
Everyone's
what
going
is
lounge
it?
Suit. That's the easiest
Who's
thing
to wear a morning coat?
The other dumb thing they've written, though, it should say next to uniform, like uniform brackets if you have one. Like if you've earned one.
Oh, like
I would
the military.
I would go to like naval aviator, Top Gun, white captain. Or you put uniform.
Or Sergeant Pepper style. Yeah.
Or like you just wear your gym's mowing polo. And you're like, well, that's in my uniform. Yeah, that's what I work in. Be more specific on your invite.
How's the font? That really bothers me. It's like literally a wedding invitation from 1978.
That has never changed.
Come on.
I mean, you can't do Comic Sans, but you can find a middle ground.
Let's give him another clown.
All
right. I'm going to now clown the dad who bungee jumped with his 2-year-old daughter. Yes.
Yep.
He decided it was really cool. But you know what? Because the daughter said she wanted to do it.
Yeah, but
I
had this argument with a mate, and this might not be right for broadcast, but a mate at a pub a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
He was there with his 1-year-old, and I did the old parental, well, watch out, he's almost got your beer. And my mate went, mate, he loves it. But,
it's not an excuse
He's
for your
one.
Pleasure.
You're the dad.
Correct.
He's not allowed to have it. I don't care if he really loves it.
Can we just hear a bit of this? This is a child going on a bungee jump. Have a listen. No. Just no. And no helmet. Sorry, the dad
He's
had a helmet.
He's just holding
child
her.
Child didn't. Yeah.
He's just holding her.
Not on.
And we all were up in arms about Michael Jackson doing a bit of balcony work.
And Steve Irwin.
No.
With Bob.
Can I throw one out there? I know you guys talked about this yesterday. Cambridge Analytica, the Facebook people.
Oh, my God.
I know they made your I hate everyone list. But even if that wasn't on the I hate everyone list.
Well, they're still clowns.
I'd like to clown them, but clown, an additional clown, to people who are using Facebook to talk about how much they hate Cambridge Analytica. You're adding to the problem. The whole problem is you gave these people too much data, and now you're on there giving them more data. Yeah. Get off.
Well, you know I got off.
You're off?
I'm off. Well, I'm sorry, everyone, my friends. But anyway, do you know, though, I saw somebody say today on Twitter, oh, I don't care if anybody has my information. Ooh, why does everybody think they're so important?
Yeah, cool. What's your PIN number? I mean, cool. All right, party in this person's account.
Shut up.
No worries. Thanks.
Okay.
Who you got?
I am going to clown Guillermo del Toro. He's the director of The Shape of Water. That is the worst film, honestly, I've seen pretty much ever. This is the Academy Award winning. Here's the trailer for it.
This creature is intelligent, capable of language, of understanding emotions.
When he looks at me, he does not know how I am incomplete. He sees me as I am.
We need to take it apart, learn how it works.
I don't want an intricate, beautiful thing destroyed.
Oh, God, it's not even human.
We were trying to work out whether The Onion had pulled a prank on the world.
It's that bad.
Yes.
I'm glad someone said it because I know it won best film. Yeah. And that's a great thing to win. We can all agree on that. But I have no desire to see it, which is odd. Usually you just watch anything that wins best film.
Well, I think it's the fact that this literally is a man in a wetsuit with sort of, you know, gills.
Can I?
And he's stupid.
Dane, this might take a bit of time, but if you've still got that trailer there, I was just imagining, because I'm in here, I'm thinking about Mick. We don't know where he is. He's gone. He's a special animal, Mick Malloy. Imagine, if you will, Mick Malloy standing in the corner in a glass cage and listen to that trailer again, thinking about...
This creature is intelligent, capable of language, of understanding emotions.
Maybe not.
He looks at me. He does not know how I am incomplete. He
doesn't
sees
know much.
Me as I am.
You need to take it apart. Learn how it works.
You'll never get through it.
It's impenetrable for
science.
You'll
never cut through that.
1-3-3-5-3, as Mick would say. You get the idea, Australia. Yeah. Who deserves?
Who do you want to clown?
1-3-3-5-3. You got it right. Hamish Blake in for Mick's first of his five RDOs for 2018.
This is Kennedy Blake.
Knee deep in clown of the week, too. 1-3-3-5-3
well,
to get involved.
Of clowning, Dave. Mick Malloy's just bum dialed Sam, my producer. That's his update currently.
Janie and I made a pact. You know, the option was there to talk to Mick. We went,
need to catch up with Mick.
Don't
let him be.
If Dad's away on business, yeah.
And then we go, oh, we can see Mick Malloy's calling in.
And then Sam's like, well, you know, might be nice to have him on the show. We're like, yeah, if you can get onto him. I mean, he's at the Grand Prix, so no, don't ruin his day. Sam's coming and going, yeah, great, he's called. And answered, yeah, it's just the swishing of Mick's pants. Did it sound like he was running?
It Sammy's sounds like, yet. Yeah.
So we know running? Something's happened.
No.
Something's
he's up. Running away from someone. He had a photograph with Simone Hoffernuckel.
Are you
today.
Kidding?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
And she's called a truce.
What did you do to a knuckle? Right.
No, Huffnagel, sorry. Simone, beautiful Simone.
So it did sound like, it sounded distinctly like a pair of tight suit pants were climbing out a toilet window and running across a lawn somewhere.
His corduroys.
And that's Mick. So wherever he is, run like the wind, Mickey, we miss you.
We've got Keith on the line. Hello, Keith.
Who's sadly, who's made clown of the week for you?
My clown of the week is a bloke called Frank Ulrich.
Yep.
Yep.
And he was best known for playing Bozo the Clown.
Oh, this is a cloud memorial.
Are you clowning a clown?
He died yesterday at age 89.
Oh, dear, that's...
Yes.
Rest in peace, Bozo.
It's a tribute to his memory.
Oh, no, Dave, don't. Oh, you had the right idea by playing piano.
But no, he's right.
Isn't there a more respectful honk you can play?
Now, there's surely got to be a million jokes about what his funeral's going to be like.
Yeah, I know. There's going to be a lot of, like, you know, they open the lid and, like, 20 clowns come out of the coffin.
And the hearse will be one of those cars, you know, with...
I think when you're like the Undertaker who does the makeup, it's the first time you ever do a sad face on that. You wipe away his smile, and that's like the final resting place of the clown. Or you just change it to neutral. So you're not a happy clown, you're not a sad clown. You're at peace now.
You're at peace.
You found your home.
R.I.P. Bozo the Clown. Thanks for the call, Keith. Good on you.
Danny boy.
Who would you like to?
How you going?
Yeah.
Very good, mate.
Who you want to clown, Danny?
That
clown Troy from Married at First Sight with that laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, and all the rest.
Oh, yeah, but he...
Oh, there
he is. Sounds like Jim Carrey having a stroke, I swear.
Just, can we hear it again?
Let's
hear
it again. Yeah, here it is.
I think
so
it's like
fake.
It's like someone on the first day of like villain movie villain school having a like having a go at doing it, and then the teacher steps in and goes, "No, do a more realistic
fail.
One."
Big oh, that yeah, he had the worst. Sorry, I'm going to clown him too. Actually,
oh, okay. Double clown
for putting me off my John Dory when I was eating dinner with his tongue action.
Yep.
Down Carly's throat.
There's two.
Was terrible.
We've all got human tongues, but you just don't need to see it.
I don't
that
need
much.
To see it slobbering like that.
Just you don't need to think about it that much.
Get a bit of class, Troy. Thanks for that, Danny.
Dave, welcome to Kennedy Blake.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
Very good. Who do you want to clown?
I'm actually going to clown Jane's co-host, Mick Molloy.
Smart clowning.
Be my guest.
Now it's like when they got Saddam Hussein. I mean, there's a litany of crimes. What are we clowning him for?
Well. Why would you open the door for the most professional radio personality in Australia, Hamish Blake?
Yeah, right.
Like you've changed the radio station tag already.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Like, well, Dave.
Kennedy Blake feels good. Never be sick, Mick. Number one rule in entertainment, don't be sick.
Who's to say it wasn't my master plan?
There is no Grand Prix.
All along.
Mick's currently out the front of the Red Bull tent going, what are you talking about? I was on the list. Jane gave me the invite.
Dave, we'll give you a prize too.
Yeah, we're going to send you one of Jane's cookies. Adrian, 1-3-5-3, who do you want to clown?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I want to premise this first by saying, Jane, I've always fancied you a little bit, but you're so getting clowned.
Oh, my God. Adrian, I'm nervous. Why?
No, for your take on The Shape of Water. That was an ace movie.
Are you joking?
It was brilliant. The set design was excellent. It was like being in a 50s cheesy sci-fi show.
Well, exactly.
Great
they already made that film.
I mean, Adrian, it did win the Oscar for best film, not best set design. I mean, so
yeah, it was a great film. It was written well.
How dumb was the costume?
Anyone can write a rubbish romantic, you know, Titanic type drivel and win an Oscar.
Did also win best
won
film.
An Oscar. Yeah, exactly. And that was rubbish.
No, that's a
great show.
I'm sorry, Adrian. It's a game changer for me, and we could never go out.
I'm not saying I haven't put the kibosh on you, Jane. I'm not saying that.
Thank you.
I feel like you did say that and you're winding it back a little bit.
I said, yeah, look, you've gone down a few pegs, that's for sure.
I really
think you need to rethink this, Jane.
Oh, well, Adrian.
We know what you won't be watching on your first date.
Yeah, we won't be going to that as a movie, but I'll try and redeem myself somehow, Adrian. Thanks for the call. We'll give you a prize.
Hey,
how about that?
Can I quickly clown myself?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, good on you, Adrian. Can I clown myself for something? I don't know why this popped back into my head, but it did. Last night, Zoe and I were at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a rookie mistake. Zoe goes, oh, the girl behind you, she's stunning. Right?
You didn't turn around, did you?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I turned around and I said, yep.
Clown, please.
And then goes, what are you doing? Well, you pointed it out. Then I made the mistake. She said, you know, she mentioned like what sort of type she is. And I went, yes, that's an attractive type. And it's not exactly the type that Zoe is. So double clowning for agreeing that you find a certain type of person attractive that's not your wife's type.
You get yourself into a lot of trouble, don't you?
Wait till you hear next hour. There's so much more.
Mick's taken the day off.
Bang!
So this is Kennedy Blake.
And I'm having a great time, Hamish, having you here with me.
Yeah, it's been a lovely time too.
We're having lots of chats off air, and what has caught our attention this afternoon, it's doing the rounds. Always love a bit of viral vision and audio.
This is good stuff. I'm sure people have seen this.
Okay, so this happened in the suburb in Melbourne of Toorak, which is a very posh, fancy suburb.
Oh, it is.
Think where the Prime Minister lives in Sydney equivalent.
It was prime. It was a tinderbox. It was prime for something like this.
It was.
Very, very narrow street.
Two-way street,
room two-way. For one car. We know them well.
And it means that at times when you see another car, not a long street, you can see the approach from the other end of a car coming. And it's just when you pull into the side, it's that menacing.
It's basically, it's the general rule I think people follow is, whoever's got the most appropriate space in front of them to pull in.
That should be the rule.
That's who pulls in.
Okay. Not to this person who happened to have a dash cam rolling. Do you want to hear a little bit of what happened?
Let's hear it
again. Let's have a listen.
What am I going to do? Move back. Move out of the way. Yes, and Mercedes-Benz are one of
the first. So you give way to me.
Excuse me, no I don't. You're holding up the whole road.
Oh, it's you and you are a bully. and a nasty, typical man, I had the right of way.
It's all recorded on the dash cam here, madam.
I couldn't care less. I'm not saying anything that isn't true.
Good.
I was in the street.
Move your car.
Let me go.
No.
But you're a bully.
All right, move your car. I'll report you to the police. I will. It's all on camera. Move your car, madam. All on there. All recorded right there.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy your conversation with the police, madam.
This okay. is what bothers me about. I mean,
I've got a lot of things that bother me, so this whole here. Scenario. You go first.
Well, first of all, you watch the footage. I'm for the lady. She comes out.
I'm for the lady too.
She gets out because the guy with the dash cam, you got to remember, it's like this, you know, history's told by the people that record it, right? He yep. knows he's being recorded.
Yes.
In fact, he uses the word madam. This is my problem with this is my problem with dash cam owners. They think they're junior policemen. They think they're trainee policemen.
Right.
They've got dash cams because cops have them. So he's enjoying. He thinks he is.
He's acting like a cop.
He thinks he's a sergeant. So by calling her madam, he thinks he's de-escalating the situation whilst retaining the professional image of the police force.
And she is having none of that.
She's having none of it. The thing that broke my heart was she got back in the car and eventually she caved.
I know. She reverses
I
back.
I didn't pick it.
And she
because
lets him.
In the showdown between the guy calling her madam and, you know, a feisty woman in yoga gear.
Activewear.
Yeah. I'm picking yoga. I got $50 that she was either coming
from. I think it's Pilates or nothing.
Going to Pilates. I would have loved it. And when I get old, this is exactly what I'm doing. Mm. I'm going to have a $5 camping chair in my car at all times in case I get caught in a showdown like this with someone with a dash cam.
Are you saying you'd sit in?
I'm saying I wouldn't get back in the car. I'd pop the trunk. I'd pop the boot. I'd get my camping chair out and I'd sit on the pavement. I'd sit on the sidewalk like I was lining up for ACDC tickets. I'd get on my phone and I'd say, clear up my afternoon.
Yeah.
I'd say, I've got all day.
And it's
I've
on.
Got all day. I'm not even in the car. Who do you think's backing down out of us, mate? Back it up.
I love that.
I'm going to have a snack and a camping chair in the back of my and a Prima in the back of my car at all times to just go, I'll showdown. And I'll call someone and go, I'm not going to be home for possibly 2 days. Because I'm sitting in a street having a showdown with a guy on a dash cam.
Okay, so how smug does that guy sound?
That's the problem with dash cam.
Like, it is. And he knows he's being recorded. Mm. The one gripe I've had is she's of the age bracket of woman that bothers me a little.
Yep.
They're all a little bit bossy and a little bit, I'll have you know, and a little bit pointy.
Typical
and,
man.
Yes, typical man, that was a bit unfair.
It wasn't my favourite line of
hers. Wasn't a favourite line, but what do you do in that situation? In that situation, one of you has manners.
Yep.
And you just, you know, that's how you work.
A lot of people have been having the legal argument today online. It's everywhere about what to actually do in it. And we've been trying to figure out an answer.
But there's no rules.
It literally comes down to, hey, it's a two-way street. We know it's not two ways.
One of you has to just.
So you got to, there's actually no rules.
And the cops can't do anything.
And I'm the cops.
As if they'd care anyway.
The cops enjoy your conversation with the police. What's your name? I'm Detective Sergeant Mathers. I was on a double murder, but then I heard about.
There's a street fracas.
Oh, I heard about an unpleasant backing down situation. So we've got a 16-man task force on this. As we speak, terrorists are entering the country because we don't have enough manpower.
But this wouldn't be but a we story. Wanna, but we wanna, there's no dash cam.
Yes.
So who has a dash cam? Here's and we thing. Just want to know, are you into dash cams? And or do you know someone who's obsessed? You can dob them in if
the,
you want.
The bigger issue for me is that there is a dash cam users. Society. Yes. It's a massive group on Facebook.
Dash cam users of Australia.
I'm amazed. Like, I know we're probably going to get people just going, I love my dash cam. I catch people all the time.
Doing what?
But that's the thing about people
what,
love
what are
dash
they looking
cams.
For? See, I'm worried people are looking out
are.
For things to happen and they're almost, you know, willing it.
Because you're like a junior occur. Cop. 133353. They are. They think they're cops.
They
I bet they have security hats in the car too. 133353. Do you love your dash cam or do you have someone in your family who takes a dash cam too seriously? Because I bet
worried.
You there'd be people that don't drive unless they've charged it or something like that.
I get very feisty.
Or they hate driving unless they've got the cam on or if there's an issue with the dash cam, they won't do it.
All right. Well, give us a ring. 133353. We'll take your calls after this.
When Mix Away, Jane will play with Hamish. This is Kennedy Blake.
We've got really good sound that was just come in of dash cam.
This is off. Is this off the Dash Cam Users Australia Facebook
indeed.
Page, Dange?
Huge. Check this out.
Oh, we caught it on camera.
Yes.
We can send it in.
Dash cams Australia.
Yeah. Dash cam.
There
that,
you go.
That to me sums up why people have a dash cam because it must spend months
waiting for something to happen.
So that's footage of like someone's cut them off, someone's done something dumb.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's exactly Pokemon. Like you're walking around trying to catch something valuable.
That's right.
You get it. You get so excited. You tell your buddies and you can upload it. It's like back in the day, Australia's Funniest Home Video, what was first prize? 10 grand?
Yeah, I think it was.
There's no first prize here. It's just getting on the website.
Yes. Of course. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
How are you going?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Yeah. Have you got a dash cam?
Mate, no, I don't have a dash cam. I can't stand the things.
Yeah. Do you know someone obsessed with one, though?
I do. I had a fella at work, guys, that he's got his own bloody YouTube channel that he uploads all his dash cam stuff onto.
No.
And you'd think it'd be a bit exciting, but apart from wasting my time at work and this sort of stuff, you know, of some bloke walking across the road on a red man or...
I know. It's such minor crimes, and because people have spent hundreds of bucks getting them, then you have to mount it, which is annoying, charge it, make sure the memory card's in it, load it up to your computer, then upload it to YouTube. Because you've done all that work, the content barrier gets lower and lower and lower until you're going, look at this guy putting his bin out. Yeah. It's not completely in line with the curb. And I got him. I got him.
Thanks for the call. Hey, Cam.
Yeah, how you going?
Good. You know someone who's got one?
It's my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what does he do? I mean, what's the thing with his dash cam?
He just loves to have it, but he's part of this group on Facebook that basically show footage of cops, like, on their phones in the car.
Really?
They just try catch
like a
cops
sting.
Is the name, are they called, like, the police or something? Like, who's gonna police the cops?
Yeah.
He's not even willing to share that information. It's a very private group.
Crashed it wide
open. Like, what are you guys
doing?
Are you trying to expose them or not? Like, hey, guys, we caught cops doing things. Yeah.
We're not showing anyone. Thanks, Cam, for the call. One more call we've got time for. Craig.
How you going?
How you doing, Craig? Do you use a dash cam?
I do, actually. But more for my own benefits, but just to watch it afterwards to see how silly people are getting on the roads. Like, I drive trucks for a living, and they seem to always want to run down your left-hand lane that's shutting out and pull in front of you. And just the other day, one pulled in front of me and gave me the bird, thought that I was at the wrong, and they had no lane left.
So you had good vision. So did you kick back and open a beer and sit back and watch your vision every night?
You have no idea of the things that you see every day. Like, this happens like 5 in the morning.
Wow.
I almost feel like, Craig, I'm going to give truck drivers a pass. I think that's the one group that should have dash cams, because everyone knows trucks have to have, 30 metres in front of them to brake.
That's right.
And it's the people that go, 30 metres free, just for me.
Exactly. Right. You know, I'd rather watch that dash cam than The Shape of Water again. So thanks for that call, Craig.
Hey, Will Anderson is coming up, and he's got a story about something you did, Hamish, at his house.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Blake.
Oh, yes, we've got a really big second hour coming up on Kennedy
Janie.
Blake.
I tried doing that an hour ago to do my Mick Malloy voice. It's ruined my vocal cords.
Oh, it hasn't. Come on, we can do it. We've got Will Anderson coming up on standby.
Yes,
in the studio.
Will, that will be good.
That's just Mick when
he's
just stalling. He just reduces it to one word every 3 seconds and bangs the desk.
Hamish, you've
and
got into
good
something.
On him. else have we got?
Hamish, so you've true. Got into something that you gave up and you've taken up again and you don't think it's going to go down well in your house.
Back on the bandwagon, we will discuss it.
We will. We've got plenty of your tweets. We've got Facebook, which I'm off, but the show's on.
A massive can of worms with dash cams.
We have with dash cams. Everybody's sending us in some information about that.
One camp going, what are you talking about? I'm cataloguing society, and it would be nothing without us. And another group going, they're more annoying than hipsters.
We're also they are. That's right. Well, we're also going to look at whether you would chip your child.
You'd chip them?
Yeah.
GPS track them?
Yeah. Would you put it under their skin? Track them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later. I've got my views on that. Very strong
Jane's just looking
views.
At her phone. She's got 6 beacons going off in front of us. One for hubby, 5 for
right
kids.
Right now, it's time to have a chat.
To the incredible.
The incredible, the extremely funny, and breakfast co-host on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne. I only said the girl team, but on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne, do you please welcome Will Anderson?
I'm also contractually a regular member of the grill team.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
of
I
course
do a
you
spot
are.
Once a week there as part go. Of my contract. So and hello,
the,
grill team.
And the cereal gang giving yeah. you the three breakfast themed shows.
And Ruined Its in Adelaide, of course.
Will, I was going to ask you this, and I think I asked Hamish before you came in. I said,
yes, it feels amazing. This feels better. You're right.
Hang on.
Yeah, we all thought you were with the wrong guy, and now that we've seen you with this
do
guy, we're like,
together?
Jane's back.
It's like when, you know, someone
do you
breaks
think we're
up
a good
and they
couple?
Get. Yeah, you know what this is? This what? Is the reunion special on MAFS. Everyone's
is.
With the right
now
people
we've
now.
Got the right. I
that's
knew
right.
the couples are right.
I
now.
Knew those scientists were wrong when they matched you guys together.
Like those and experts.
Me and Andy weren't feeling it,
was
it either.
A weird experiment. Yeah.
But we just feel so natural and relaxed with you.
Now Andy and Mick are at the Grand Prix. They're happy. We're happy. Everyone got what they want.
I mean, and you saw it too, Hamish. This is a nice thing because I appreciate what you've done here today because myself, I'm now making a nice little living off the fact that when Mick Molloy got out of a chair, I jumped into it. So I think it's a really good career plan, to be honest with
me
you.
Me and Will are just sailing in the wake of the HMAS Mickey.
And yeah. I'm the lucky recipient.
Well, it's nice to be part of it, Jane.
It
it's
is.
Nice to
but
be
But I
here.
Was going to ask you, do you ask have me. A little sleep in the afternoon?
No. No,
don't?
I don't. No. I'm going to have a little sleep after we're done now.
Oh, really? A little but, lie down?
Yeah.
I mean, we tried to get into Mick before. He bum-dialed Sammy, the producer. I reckon Mick's having a little sleep in a ditch somewhere as we speak.
He has been contacted.
Has he been contacted?
Sam has had a chat and he's just, let's just say he's probably not in a great state to go to air.
Can we get
He didn't
one?
Let us down.
Can we do though? Because I know we've probably got listeners in the gridlock around Albert Park in Melbourne.
Stalking him.
133353. Mick sightings. If you spot him in the wild.
Oh. Well, if you spot him in the wild, two things. Let us know if you spot him. But the other thing is, the one thing we all know about Mick is, he's a real man of the people and what he likes is a selfie.
Honestly,
so,
yes,
and look,
you're
to
right.
be honest, take True. As long as you want with a selfie.
Yep.
And do you know
like
what?
He doesn't mind if you haven't got the phone bit out, like the camera bit out, just like, you know what?
Do you know what?
Put your arm around him and wait next to him. You get you pass your phone to someone else, take
he
as much
it.
Time as you like.
And
he
make sure
it.
You give your phone to someone that's not familiar with that mobile oh, phone. Yeah. Because Mick enjoys waiting for someone to go, oh, I'm bloody hopeless at this. I don't know what I'm doing on a Samsung.
Oh. He loves
and
it.
And ask him how the phone works too, because he's right up with the technology.
And do you know what? I mean, I hope we're not sharing too much about you know what Mick loves doing?
Oh, what?
He loves making a video for your niece's year
12
video.
Oh, absolutely. If you've got a special event coming
if
up.
If your niece is in year 12 this year, he really wants to make a video for the whole year level to say good luck with your exams.
By name. Get on the Facebook page. Look
wants,
at all the friends.
He'll do the whole class. That's his favourite thing.
Also, if you happen to have a business of some kind, wasn't he saying the other day that
well,
he loves
to... Well,
he
does for free.
He endorses a product for free.
He wants
that's
to
what
be,
he likes to do.
He'll be the face of your business all over all social media. He can't wait.
Absolutely. He can't
all right,
wait.
Anyway, enough about me. Yeah. I want to talk about you two.
Okay.
But what I want to talk about was, Hamish, have you recently been round to Will's new
joint?
I have been
to Will's
and
house.
And what's going on there? What's...
Well, I mean, you know...
What's that all about?
I was very honoured to be asked to be a guest on Will's Willosophy podcast, which
oh,
is
yes,
the
excellent.
Sometimes biannual podcast by Will. It's a very sporadic podcast.
I got 12 of them out last year.
That's good.
That's good. One per month. It wasn't one per month because that would be a regular schedule people could follow.
No, it was.
I think there was three in one week.
Might have been 11 in November. Just banged out a week
so
in LA.
So you recorded it at your house?
At my new house. But this is the thing about my new house is that I'm not really moved into the new house. I've just been...
what do you mean?
Well, because I've been living in a different state. I'm moving home to Melbourne for me, but I've been living in Sydney for 15 years. Mm. And Melbourne's my home. It's where I started doing comedy. And so it's been really exciting for me to come home to Melbourne to do a show.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to set up a whole new
Why
life.
Why don't you get a couch,
Why
don't you get a couch? I mean, homes traditionally will have at least one piece of furniture.
Okay, well, here's the
have
first thing.
Have you not
thing.
Got I'm round
gonna...
to that?
It's barren, Jane. There's nothing in there.
Here's the
it's
first...
not Scandinavian look, is it?
Well, here's the thing I love the most is when Hamish first came in, you could tell he was caught between that idea of going, because there is some stuff in there. But there's just not a lot of stuff in there.
I mean, there's a floor, there's walls, there's a bench. But on the way over, I was like, you know, Will does a podcast at his house. So that's very generous. That's nice. Like, well, inner sanctum getting let in. And then I was like, oh, he's invited me to this is a rented house.
Yeah.
He doesn't want me to his actual house. He doesn't want me to know where he lives.
Oh, really?
It's like the sort of place that they would hire out to make pornos in.
Oh, you know,
there's a minimum.
Pretty cheap ones, though. like real world stuff.
I know what you're saying.
Not high end, not high end. Phone, shot on the phone.
So you don't have any furniture, is this right? But you've got a bed.
I've got a bed.
Well, it would be weird to do it on a bed, sitting on a bed.
No,
as a couch,
so
wouldn't it?
There's no furniture in the house. Hamish thought I was a minimalist. He had a moment where he just thought I was one of those guys who was American Psycho style, just really into minimalism.
Yeah, there's just tarpaulins up. And,
And I did lay some plastic sheeting on the ground and got him to stand in the middle of it, just revealed.
Cool. For the skin room.
Yeah, and Will wore a balaclava and made me do a piece to camera. And there's a ransom. And my wife had to pay 600 Bitcoin to get me out. But apart from that, it was cool.
Well, we've got to move on that. So, well, what are you doing to
Here's what I was going to say is, my office where I record the podcast is kind of like about two-thirds set up. There's a couch and there's enough
signs of life.
Signs of life in there,
like,
right?
That would be, the rest of the house, it would not be weird to see a guy in a suit show some people through and then go, oh, right, sorry, no, we sold this. Yes, we just assumed because it's in mint condition, it was vacant, we could rent it out to someone.
So, beforehand, I was like, I need a cup of tea, right? And so I'm making myself a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I need to point out, I've been in this place since I started doing the radio last year, which was like end of October or something. So I've been pretty much living in there since then.
Can I tell you what he was making a cup of tea with?
Yeah, you can.
He was boiling a pot of water in a pasta saucepan. So a giant
deep. Oh, so it's like that huge two handles. Oh, how long is that going
to
take?
It took like half an hour. It was heavily salted boiling water, which is like you meant to make pasta with. And then had to like slop it like he was pouring hot oil onto some barbarians over the edge of a castle. Like slopped it over the cup, spilled it everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Will.
This
I'm
going to
blow your mind. There is a company called Sunbeam that make a small electrified jug that
has going the capacity to take you out shopping
to heat water to the point of boiling. I can't believe you've never heard of this.
Let's go to IKEA. Let's play a song. Jane, and while we're playing the song, I'm going to take you to IKEA and do a shop.
This is Kennedy Blake.
Will Anderson in studio. Hey, by the way, Will Eagle, the comedy show across Australia, Melbourne International Comedy Festival from March 28, Perth Comedy Festival May 4, Canberra from the 2nd of June. Go to comedy.com.au.
Consistently the most popular show at the Melbourne Comedy
Festival. He's a busy man.
Well, not
man.
That one. I mean, this is a new show.
Yeah, brand new show. Although I will tell you this, in Adelaide, which was the first run of the show, it's about an incident that happened on a plane to Wagga Wagga 8 months ago.
And we're familiar with it.
And there was a guy... it turns out that not everyone's as familiar with it as they thought, and one person thinks he's more familiar with it than he was, because one guy literally heckled me during the show, and he goes, I heard all this 3 years ago, and I said, mate, you can have a lot of complaints about tonight's entertainment. You cannot enjoy it, you cannot think it's funny, you can think it's a biased retelling of the story, but... It's not old material.
You cannot argue with the chronology. And I have a trove of news articles to back me up.
How did you shut him up? I can't stand that when people do that. That's
no, I actually
annoying.
Was at Will's show 3 years ago where he was like, hey, I reckon in 2 years this is going to happen. And he picked it. So I reckon I'll be going to Wagga. I reckon I'll have a medical issue. And he absolutely nailed it. Half did half an hour. And then you would have been really annoyed when it really happened in real life.
Speaking of medical issues, how's your health going, Will?
How about this? I had to go and get an MRI the other day.
I saw you that day. That
you
was
did.
The morning really? We did the podcast.
Morning together. We did the podcast. I was going straight to get an MRI.
There's a lump in your neck?
I've got a lump in my neck. I've got a tumour in my neck.
Hang on.
What?
Anyway,
that sounds very dramatic.
Nah, you'll be all right. Best wishes, Will. All right. This is ACDC.
Anyway, it was nice to be here as part of my make-a-wish.
This is Will's farewell.
Can you talk me through this,
actually,
please?
Tell us you're all right before we do all these jokes.
I've got my worried mother face
on. Can I firstly tell you how the doctor told me that I was all right? I'll skip to the end so you know that I'm all right.
Thank you.
He said to me this. This is how he broke the news to me. He goes, it's a tumour. Not cancer.
Whoa.
Okay, just flip that around, Yoda. Whoa. Just lead with not cancer and then get to whatever you want to say after that. Here's but don't lead with it's a tumour, because I didn't hear not cancer because I'm a 44-year-old man who grew up in the era of kindergarten cops. So when you hear it's a tumour,
all your
brain says
it's bad.
It's a tumour.
That's
right?
The thing that Arnie didn't want.
Right.
And I've got it.
I've got it.
So
in
what
the
is
neck.
It? Is it just a...
It's a benign tumour. So, so it's not cancer. It's
and what
just
do they
a,
do with it? What's their plan?
Okay, so here's how I knew at the start when I had to go for the initial test about it. They were just doing an ultrasound around it, and I was like, firstly, I didn't really realise that ultrasounds were for things other than babies. So, I'm like, if there is a baby in there, that's going to come as a shock.
So,
to
sorry.
A
super weird.
It's a tumour. It's 6 months. Yeah. Do you want to know?
Yeah,
and it's a girl.
Timmy or Tamara?
Your partner really should be here to hold your hand. Yeah. It's a special moment.
So the woman who's doing the ultrasound, the nurse, or I assume, or whatever she was, you know that moment you know when something's going wrong when they take just a little bit too long?
Yep.
Like, and
the other
then
one,
they...
I've had an ultrasound not on my uterus as well, and it, or womb, sorry. I mean, you know, wherever the baby grows.
Not time for lesson now.
It's not time for lesson. We know it's in there. It's a miracle.
In their tummy, right?
But it's the bit where they measure something, like how long it is.
Yes.
And they do that furrow of the brow and they go, just measure that again. And you're like, that's bad. They're not happy with that first measurement.
You don't want silent moment. You don't want the non-talking bit.
Well, then she said this one, Jane, and this is when I knew that I was in a little bit of trouble. She said, she said it in such a calm medical voice because, you know, they're trained for that situation.
Sure.
So she's just giving me the whole, I'm just going to go and get the doctor. But you know the minute they say that, because you know there's not like a fun doctor.
Yes.
You know there's not like a doctor waiting outside the door whose only job it is to deliver
good
people news.
You've
good
got
news.
A golden ticket in your neck. There's only five people worldwide that have it, and you have won immortality.
You won it. Do you like rivers of chocolate?
Yeah.
And a ragtag bunch of other children? Because
I'm so worried you're by yourself at this stage.
Oh, I am by myself at this stage because I didn't realise that anything wrong was going to happen. So then the doctor's gone, if you don't mind, we're going to do a biopsy. And I said, I don't mind, because it turns out at that stage I was not fully aware what a biopsy was.
There's cutting.
Well,
there's
needles.
Big mothers. Yeah.
Five needles, like into a lump in my neck.
Yeah. Can I just pull out stuff like this with a big sort of pulling action?
You would look like a guy that people are keen to get photos with in India to show people back home to be like, look at this guy, just jams this in his neck and it's incredible. He doesn't care. He doesn't mind.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They keep asking you, is it growing? But it isn't growing, but it was stopping me from...
So did they do the biopsy?
Yeah. So they've done the biopsy. That's what
are your results in?
Yeah. So, but I have... Well, so anyway, that was all had happened.
Yeah.
And then of late, despite the fact that the biopsy said it was okay...
Yes.
I was having some trouble breathing,
You're such a sook, mate. Well, listen to this list.
It's got to do with you doing breakfast radio.
I was just, there was a little part of me that was like, you know what? I don't need a lot of things to get by my day and earn my living, but the capacity to produce sound from my throat is high on that list.
One of the reasons you would live not in water is because you require air to live.
Well, that's what I've demanded. If they have to take it out and I can't talk anymore, I demand they put in gills.
Yeah.
And I am just going to return to the ocean.
It's on Will's rider in here. I want one water, one beer,
or
oxygen.
A voice box.
You can come and see Will Eagle. I'm playing at Atlantis, the main room.
Where really are you playing?
Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the Comedy Theatre, and then Perth, Canberra, Sydney Opera House later in the year.
You're bloody everywhere, man.
Yep.
Awesome. We're going to see. We're going to send everybody out to see you. Good on you, Will.
And get you and your big lump out of here.
Mick's taken the day off.
Bang!
So this is Kennedy Blake.
Can I share with you an incident that happened at our house?
Yes. I'd love to hear about
Wednesday
that.
Night.
Yep. Right? Wednesday night.
I recently, I'm 36, right? But I have those bouts where I go, I'm a grown-up. Yeah, because I still can't believe I'm a grown-up.
Is it really? It crosses your mind from time to time.
Like at the shops, I could just buy that chocolate. I could buy that chocolate and I could eat it and I've got money and I'm allowed to do it and no one will tell me
you
off.
You always seem 23 to me.
I was still blown away and I saw there's a new Xbox out, right? It's called an Xbox One X.
Oh, really?
And my brain, and I'm not, we're not on radio this year. You got the podcast. That's only once a week. We sort of finished shooting the TV show. My brain's like, you got a bit of time. And then the other part of me is going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't do this. And I was like, yes, Xbox One X. And
oh,
I was
really?
Hooking it up at home, right?
Oh, went and bought it.
Yep. So my brain's, I've got one. My brain's going, what are you doing? Yes. Don't do this. You have children. You have a wife.
Responsible time.
I played a lot of video games probably till I was about 30. Then, you know, so I got married, kids. I haven't picked up the controller for a few years.
So when you were living share houses, with guys, right?
Share house world, I was gaming.
Dave,
a lot.
What about you? Was this part of your growing up?
I grew up in the 80s and I had the Atari, so I'm going a bit early, but I saw an Atari the other day at Target. I'm going, I might buy a new one.
Thumbs start twitching. Yep. Yeah. So I was like Call of Duty, FIFA, that was my okay. So soccer and shooting people. That was essentially what
it
boiled down.
Times,
to. That was like 8 hours of my life summed up in two or three words.
Okay.
Right? But I kind of kicked it a bit and was getting back into it. So my brain is screaming, what are you doing? But we've got a 4K television. I don't sound too swanky, but that's, you know, they're like the super
4K, like
that's like a good TV you can have.
Right. So is that like 70?
It's a super high def.
High def.
You don't, nothing def. Is in 4K, so it's pointless.
Yeah.
Like, all right, okay.
You can't do anything with it. But
this is like porn talk to me, you know, about big screen TVs. I'm into this.
The whole thing about the Xbox One X is it's
is utilized for 4K. So it's like 4K. James is drinking beers going, I'm out. But it's utilized for that resolution.
Okay.
Right? So that's what I'm telling myself. But you can also play like Blu-rays on it. I'm like, this will be good. We got David Attenborough's Planet Earth. I'm like, you know, it'd be good for the kids. Not just about me gaming.
Wow.
There's a game, right, called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone that plays it would immediately be nodding. Anyone that doesn't, that means nothing to them.
Okay. Yes, yes, my son's familiar with
the
that.
The game is essentially, it's online, so you're playing with 100 other people. Mm. You parachute at the start of the game onto an island. You've got nothing. It's an open world.
Yes.
You scavenge for things like weapons and whatever. And if you're meant to like kill the other players, if you get killed, you're out. You never get back in.
Why you just have to kill each other? Why can't you just
It's post-apocalyptic and you can't really chat to them. And I mean, if you tried to, they'd pounce on you for your weakness. Oh, I'm sorry, Janet. It's very...
has to die.
You're thinking of PlayerUnknown's Dinner Party. Where you go along and you have an enjoyable night.
And chat to people.
And at the end, you rate people on their anecdotes and whoever told the best stories and was an active listener wins. That's not the game I was playing.
Sure, sorry,
so I've
continue.
I got a buddy from America, right, who's also into gaming. He's here at the moment.
Yes.
And so I message him and say, hey, Chris, do you want to play Xbox One X? And he's like, going, I would love that. Comes over. Zoe is like, what are you guys doing? So we're going to play a little bit of Xbox. I've only got one controller, so we have to like take turns and pass it back and forth. Zoe goes up to bed at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, we won't play for much time. We'll just have a few
goes. Oh, yeah, right.
We look at our watches, look at the clock.
Yeah.
I felt like it was minutes later. It was nearly 3 in the morning.
No.
Wow.
And then I look at my phone and it's been going bonkers because it wasn't near me with Zoe messaging me going, why is it so noisy? What are you doing? Shut up, you teenagers. So I was like, So I look at Chris and I said, I think I got to go to bed. And he said, look, I understand. And he said, if you want to play all night, I'm down with that. This is great. And he said, I know you got a whole thing upstairs with your kids and stuff, but if
you want to. And your wife and the old family.
And I was like, I've got to do the right thing. I've got to go to bed. I go up at like 3 in the morning. And we've also got like a small downstairs area with a second old shitty TV.
Yeah.
Like that is quiet. like it's like a basement area of the house. So Zoe goes, why did you get my messages? I said, yep, sorry, don't worry, go to bed. An hour clock, you have to turn the alarm clock on to see what time it is. Yeah. So I can feel her reaching over to turn it on. I was like, no. It's okay. So it's late. Don't worry about it. She clicks on and she's like, 3:36. Don't worry about it. And she goes like, why didn't you, like, what are you doing down there? I said, no, we just got a bit addicted. She's like, play in the basement. Why aren't you playing in the basement? I was like, no, because...
You haven't got the
video. I said, because the Xbox One X is utilized for a 4K TV.
Oh, she doesn't want to hear that.
No, she went, I totally understand. That's so cool. I love talking about resolution.
Who else is doing this till 3 in the morning?
Like, I'm just back in, just addicted out of nowhere. Now, like, Chris is coming over tonight. We're doing it again.
You're not.
Yep, can't stop.
I was going to ask you what you're going to do tonight.
Can't stop, don't want to stop.
Is anyone else into this? Is anybody
this
else?
This is a massive... Here's the thing, though. I reckon I'm in the not... I don't think I'm alone in the category of like kind of grown-ups.
Revisiting.
Adults who just relapsed back into gaming and can't stop.
And can't stop.
Should have seen it too. Then the next
You're addicted, man.
Last night she had a mate over.
Yeah.
And she went, where's all the popcorn? Went, oh, yeah, we ate. Me and Chris ate it when we were having a game party. A video game party.
Oh,
we
God, I'm popcorn. Worried.
All right. Well, 133353. So you're an adult now.
Yeah. Are you an adult that gamed a bit? Now you're back.
You're back.
It's got
because
you.
There's got to be better games as well and everything now,
adults
isn't there?
Who have relapsed back into gaming, I bet you I'm not alone with PlayerUnknown Battleground 2.
Well, we're going to take your calls next.
When Mix Away, Jane will play with Hamish. This is Kennedy Blake.
Mick will be back on Monday, by the way. Wow. He says. We've got Hamish Blake in with Jane Kennedy.
I'm worried about Hamish now.
If you go to the Kennedy Malloy website, there is a Kickstarter page there for Mix Bail. And we're doing everything we can.
GoFundMe, Kickstarter,
We can to get him out of the sticky situation he found himself in at the Grand Prix.
Hamish, you tell me that you are very concerned because you have reverted back to your pre-married family days. I feel like you've... cross that line and you're back into the gaming world.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God, 3 a.m.
And knowing I had to get up at 6, like the kids would be up at 6, and knowing as I was going into bed, like probably closer to 4 because I was too wired from playing all that the kids would be awake in 2 hours and I've got to pretend to my wife that I feel terrific and I've made all the right decisions in staying up past 3 o'clock to play PlayerUnknown's Battleground. If you know what I'm talking about, you know how addictive it is.
You're quite perky now.
I'm playing again tonight. I'm so excited. I'm probably anticipating.
Does Zoe know this?
Yep, I've warned her. She's going out with a mate.
Good for her.
I tried to get her to stay in a hotel. So I really could go through all the way through.
Well, it seems you're not alone. Our switchboard has almost exploded.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guilt-ridden guys on the
We know we've got a problem and it's just up to us how we manage it. Hassan, are you in the same boat, mate?
Hassan, I'm just stoked, man. Like, you know, I got married, didn't play for gaming for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I recently moved into my house. So I specifically made the home theater with soundproof insulation, 4K projector, Yamaha speakers, woofers. I got a wine cellar.
Stay on the line, Hassan. I'm coming over.
Hassan, this sounds like you're setting it up for a beautiful home cinema for everybody to watch movies in, yeah?
I'm just playing games, actually, to be honest.
Oh.
I'm playing FIFA
Shock to
and
hear.
Call of Duty all the time. Yeah. And because it's soundproof, like, you know, my wife doesn't care much because the sound doesn't go out. Yeah. And like, you know, like tonight, I'll probably be going around 10 o'clock. I won't see my wife till 7 in the morning. I'll be there. So
2 years of marriage.
I assume my wife's in the house still. I occasionally hear a thump or footsteps, but I haven't been out of the basement for 2 years. I mean, that's the thing. That's the problem, Janie.
This is an issue we can see.
I actually think it's safer for me to be playing in the lounge room where I'm noise conscious because I know I'll eventually wake Zoe up and she'll come down and drag me to bed.
They need to do a reality television show.
If I had a soundproof
couples,
room.
Couples, like, you know, dealing with gaming.
Oh, I'd be in so much trouble if I had a
soundproof Justin.
Room.
Hey, how you going?
What's going on with you and your gaming, mate?
Oh, it's getting not too out of hand. So,
really?
I grew up with two brothers and our parents used to always get us the latest console, so, you know, Super Nintendo to 64 to Xbox to PlayStation, back and forth with all the new devices.
I'm there.
I recently moved out 2 years ago with my fiance, and my brothers still live at home, so I feel the need to go back there every now and then and just belt out a hardcore session for Call of Duty.
You have to. And that's the thing. And you would think your fiance would be like, that's nice you're catching up with your brothers. But you're like, we don't talk.
It's so clandestine.
I feel a bit worse for my parents because I sort of lock myself in my brother's room and might not speak to my parents for 4 or 5 hours.
You mean you might scream through the door, Mum, my spaghetti's cold, like no more, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been common. They sometimes cook dinner and then you're like, yeah, we'll get it the next game.
Yes.
And then 2 hours later, we're microwaving a meal.
Justin, I'm gobsmacked, but
this is what your kids will do, Janie.
It's
ahead of you.
It's kind of happening, similar things happening. Colin, what's going on with your life?
Colin, have you relapsed?
Anyways, I had a PlayStation 1 many moons ago and didn't touch it for God knows how many years. And I started working with these younger blokes and I ended up buying a PlayStation 4 and now Battlefield and COD. And I'm 54 years old and I'm looking into these long sessions and getting cranky when they've got all these boosters and campers in the background.
Colin,
you're in.
You need to chill, man. It's just
You've
insane.
Got big muscular thumbs, Colin. I can hear it. Nothing like, that warms my heart. So you're a 54-year-old telling me about how he's annoyed someone's camping, which just means when you're in the same spot on the game, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's frowned upon.
Don't worry. I'll let everyone know. Hamish has filled me in on the intricacies of this game. I'm still not going to play. It does nothing for me, but I don't know. It must be in my DNA. James, what about you? Are you still in the gaming world?
No, I'm 36. I just got out of it. I did play World of Warcraft for 12 and a half years.
Okay.
And I had 495 days game time.
That's the thing that's confronting, isn't it? I don't like seeing that stat.
That's a
some games
stat.
Will tell you you're hell and you've been online.
Oh, really?
Grand Theft Auto had it or whatever, and it's a terrible thing to show. It's like when I showed you, Jane, how long you've been on social media and you go to battery usage on your phone.
I know, I did get a shock.
It's too confronting, but 495 days.
Wow.
As soon as I checked that, I was just like, nope, done, uninstalled, and looked outside and saw sunshine. I was like, what have I been doing this entire time?
And what do you do now instead?
Casting spells, that's what you've been doing.
Okay. I work in construction, I had it the whole time, so it was just one of those things that you just did in your spare time and avoided a lot of people to... Yeah.
Well, at least you didn't say you're professionally a wizard. Like at least we're getting paid to play.
And I'm assuming you can just sit back and watch Married at First Sight. That's what you would do.
Yeah, now you can be addicted to something else. James, good luck. Good luck staying out of it. I envy you. I just think I've got to get this out of my system and I'll be back to reality. But Omar, quickly wrap it up for us, mate. Have you gone back to gaming as an adult?
Yeah, I have gone back to gaming as an adult. Me, my cousin, and my brother, we used to play this game called Vampire Knight.
Yeah.
It was like an anime version of like Buck Hunter.
Yep.
And then recently, we've found the game again. We've got it sorted. But we've actually gone now on eBay and bought all the guns and set up our room like an arcade section.
Oh, my God.
So we've got these big guns, and there's like the three of us going at it, hammer and tong. We're loving it.
How do you eat? When do you eat, Omar? Don't tell me your mummy brings the food in.
You just get a big bucket of sausage in with a straw and you siphon it. You're fine. If you can put an IV in, you're set for the night.
Oh, you
Omar.
You're kicking those hatch of the
No. Right. Yeah, well, look, I noticed not many girls called up then.
No, just on. Almost got Cassie to wear.
An RDO for Mick.
Mickey.
So Jane replaced him with Hamish. This is Kennedy Blake.
Mick's back on Monday. So good to have Hamish
Blake
says. In. Nah, he's
so
been
he
good.
Says.
Keep running, Mick. hey,
it's Jane. Been wonderful having you on the show, Hamish. Thank you very much for filling in for Mick. I've loved it.
It has been a bloody honour, guys. Thank you for having
fun.
Me.
We were talking about gaming. We've had a few social media comments come through.
Yep.
On Facebook, Chris Foster has said, gone back, been a gamer since I can remember. I'm only 35 now. That's not too old. And he has sent us a photograph of his gaming room, which looks like a professional gaming
center. He's got a race car set up. He's got like three different steering wheels. So obviously he gets a bit bored and goes, I feel like a more of a GT grip on this steering wheel. It's amazing.
I'm not sure he's going to get a girlfriend very soon.
This is the thing.
You're not going to see anyone.
I tried to kick it because I had small kids and I want to spend time with them, but now I've been sucked back in. But this is a good one too from Coxie. I play Call of Duty till 6 a.m. Wife and kids get up to go to school and ask if I've been to bed and went, yeah, just got up early. Xbox feels competitive. I feel like that's going to be me exactly tomorrow morning.
Oh, my God. Now, not too late for
you. Can I ask you a very, very quick parenting question,
Jamie? Yes, go ahead.
I'll do this fast because I know we're going to get out of here. Growing up, right, we had a mate that didn't taste milk until he was 15 because him and his brother would get up and have Weet-Bix, right?
Yes.
Their dad would get up in the morning, use half the milk for his cereal. He'd fill the milk up with water, put it back in the fridge. And when him and his brother had Weet-Bix, it was half milk, half water. That's what they thought milk tasted like. Then he went to a mate's house and had a glass of milk and went, what is this?
Oh, my God, it tastes great.
And then everyone went, it's just milk. And he confronted his dad and his dad went, well, you guys just drink so much milk. Who cares? It's for cereal.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me.
So let me ask you, I've always gone, well, that's child abuse. It's getting to the stage now where Sonny's eating, my little weed's three Weet-Bix for breakfast.
Yeah.
They soak up, we all know this, they soak up so much milk.
Yeah.
I've started soaking each Weet-Bix in water. So I fill up each Weet-Bix with water, then I put milk in because you just get a bit of the absorption out.
Otherwise, it's half a litre.
Is it wrong? Is that what parents do?
We do.
Is that all right?
And we've got more evil ways as well. I'll fill you in.
Tell me off air.
I've got a book of it.
You know, crack a beer and talk about how to deprive milk kids from milk. Have a great weekend.
Thanks to Hamish Blake, Lee Sales, Lawrence Mooney and Limo next week, Kennedy Malloy.
Mick's taken the day off.
Bang!
So this is Kennedy Blake.